the Pastor with Jim Simmons and Charles Lyons, the program that provides great Bible teaching and the opportunity to ask your questions. Our guests are some of the most fascinating Christians in cinema, writing, and various professional fields. Now, be a part of Ask the Pastor.
Good evening and welcome to Ask the Pastor. This is a very special Christmas night edition of our broadcast as we take this time to celebrate Christmas. Best of all, this is a time when Christians gather together and honor that incredible moment when Christ, the Son of God, came to earth in human form. He took on flesh that he could become our sacrifice. I'm Jim Simmons, and we're happy that you've joined us tonight. It is our desire that tonight's program will be a blessing to you. Normally each week, as God permits, we are pleased to study the Word of God together, take your questions, and have a time of prayer for our country and you, our listeners. Tonight, however, is Christmas evening, and we're filled with the excitement and joy that is truly Christmas. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce to you the pastor of Ask the Pastor, author, lecturer, teacher, and Mr. Ho 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 himself, Dr. Charles Lyons. Doctor, how are you this great evening?
Well, thank you for that rather unusual but certainly festive way of introducing me. I think that's one for the record book. Certainly is a wonderful time today, this wonderful Christmas afternoon and now evening. And I certainly want to take this opportunity to wish you, Jim, your family, a very Merry Christmas. And likewise, we welcome, thank you. Also welcome our audience to join us, and I trust that they've had a good Christmas. Especially appreciate that they would take this time this evening. Maybe they've had too much hustle and bustle. Maybe they've been in service and had to work today. And so now maybe finally you're having some peaceful time, or perhaps you're coming by archive. Whatever the case might be in your life, we welcome you to Ask the Pastor now. We're celebrating the birth of Christ this evening and the warmth that really is Christmas time, not just in case you got one too many logs on the fireplace, but also just the warmth of love that we should experience as Christians when we fall back and celebrate and remember the purpose of the season. It's not about bows and ribbons or anything like that. It's about the birth of Christ, his love, his mercy, that he was willing to take on human flesh in order to demonstrate his love for us and gain grace and mercy for us. So with that as our foundation, Jim, why don't you be so gracious as to open us up in prayer?
Surely. Heavenly Father, we gather tonight to study your word and to honor your Christmas gift of Christ to us. Father, we ask you to superintend this study tonight. I pray that you would guide both Dr. Lyons and myself with clear direction and the exact words you would have us share on this special night. It is our desire that you would use this time to do business in our hearts and minds. You know, Lord, our every hurt, our every need, and our every fear. May we be attentive and good listeners. May we not just hear the word, but actually put it to use in our daily lives. It's in the name that's above all names, the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Before we go any further tonight, let me take this opportunity to suggest that you invite your friends and family to listen and be a part of Ask the Pastor. We also want to make sure you know about our website. You can find us on the web at www.askthepastornow.com. So after tonight's broadcast, why not continue your celebration at our website? That's www.askthepastornow.com.
Imagine, if you will, what it would be like if your country was conquered. The new government takes over. Life is totally different. You are little more than a teenager and you're taken captive and moved to another city. Held in comfortable surroundings, make no mistake, you are a prisoner. Told what to eat, what to study, even when and how you will pray. What will you do? If you were Daniel that was written about in the Old Testament of the Bible, you would stand up for what you believe. In his book, Daniel, A Commentary of Prophecy, Dr. Charles Lyons goes through the book of Daniel and gives you lessons from Daniel's life that are totally needed today. Follow the lessons learned and the stands Daniel took against rulers, government corruption, political intrigue, and people of compromise. Learn from his life as a teenager, middle-aged, and finally as a senior. Get your copy of Daniel, A Commentary of Prophecy, today.
Merry Christmas from Jim and Charles on Ask the Pastor Now.
And definitely welcome back. I thank you, Jim, for that gracious introduction and this time we've had together. Thank you for letting our listeners know about the website. And, you know, as I was hearing that little advertisement about the book, Daniel, A Commentary, it dawned on me the commonality that we should share as we approach Christmas. That book looks at the life of Daniel through various stages. You don't just take him at one slice of his life and say, well, that's Daniel. And really, if you come to Christmas time and all you see is a nativity scene and a manger, you've really missed out on Christmas, because to discover the life of Christ is so much. I mean, as we mentioned last week in our study, and encourage people again to go back to the archives, we looked at some of the promises that were given to us about the birth of Christ, of his life, and what we could look forward to. And that promise was stable throughout all those years leading up to the birth of Christ. And now we celebrate this time. We celebrate his birth, but also realize that it's not the babe in a manger that is your salvation. It's his life. It's his living a life that honored God, that truly was without sin. And therefore, as we lead up into the Easter season, his sacrifice, and best of all, his resurrection, we see that the entire life of Christ is what brings about our salvation. So we celebrate Christmas time. We are excited by it. And, you know, this particular day of all days, it's like the whole world needs to just put the brakes on for a moment and realize something incredible has happened to this time. So, again, if all you're seeing out of Christmas is just special events and programs, you are truly missing out on what God does in our lives. It's an incredible thing to realize the life of Christ, and it should be a warm time, a special time, as families gather together to simply honor Christ in a very warm and wonderful way. I trust that they'll put the pressures of the day behind and instead draw closer together in love and strength and harmony in their home. And even if your home is a home of one, recognize you're not alone. You are there with Jesus Christ, and you are there with the love of God in your life. So we always have something worth celebrating. Jim, I may be getting a little sidetracked, so let me jump back to the theme itself and ask you, how was your Christmas day?
Well, Pastor, before I do, can I just make a comment about your book on Daniel? Every morning, you know, I have some favorite scripture, and there's one I'd just like to share. It just came on my heart as you were talking about the book. In Daniel 10:12, it says, "Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." I love that, because it tells us that when we set our mind and our heart, that God hears us. So I thank you for your book of Daniel. I think that's a great thing for folks to consider, is purchasing that book. It has some great insight. So back to your question, Pastor. We have a little, it's fairly new over the last several years, a little pre-Christmas celebration. Sonia, my wife's mom and dad, take us to a little place called Taste of Texas. And it is so fabulous. And I'll just tell anyone that's listening, if you're in the Houston area and you want a great place to celebrate Christmas, it's Taste of Texas. It is just absolutely Christmas all over. The owners happen to be members of our church, so we thoroughly enjoy spending heaps and heaps of money on all this delicious food, because come with a lot of money, but it is such a great place for a family to gather, and that's the way we begin our Christmas season, is stuffing ourselves, not our stockings, stuffing ourselves.
And by the way, Jim, just so our listeners know, that was not a commercial. We don't get any money back from Taste of Texas. But if you'd like to tell them that you heard about it on our program and it would be a really nice thing for them to give us some, you know, a free meal time or time, that wouldn't be a bad thing. But no, this was not a commercial spot. But it really does have great food, and even better, it's got great people behind the place. So that's really nice. But get us back to your Christmas afternoon.
Well, that's the way we begin. Then we go back to my home. We start a fire in the fireplace. I've already got it kind of prearranged because you hate to be a Boy Scout that can't start a fire. And we had a great time because then we have the not just the gift exchange, but we had a karaoke machine, a little portable thing, and we sang Christmas music and just made fools of ourselves, but it was a great celebration for a great time of the year, our most famous and greatest time, Christmas. How about you, Pastor?
Now, well, I have to ask, did you record any of these great karaoke moments? I mean, we usually like to have music on the program, and this is something we could look forward to next year, to Jim's greatest karaoke moments. Is that something you have coming out?
Well, I saw many of my nieces and my mother-in-law with the cell phones trying to record this stuff, and we didn't intentionally record it on the device we were using, but I think we do have some moments, and yes, I think once I edit them, I'd be happy for y'all to view those.
Well, that's certainly something we'll want to look forward to. You know, Christmas comes to us regardless of what is going on in our lives, and you know, I think by that what I mean is that many times Christmas can be a time of joy and prosperity. That's something we certainly look forward to and would enjoy. But in contrast, others sometimes find themselves just getting by or wishing they could have done more and wondering what the rest of the week or the month might even be like. And so I want to take this moment to offer some comfort and encouragement to those folks to remember that Christmas is not about how much money you spend and sometimes even how much you might have or not have. It's about the Christ. And so that's why a family can celebrate, whether they are blessed with prosperity or whether they're just getting by. It is a time to give thanks for his presence in our lives and draw a family together. You know, I know what it is to have both prosperity and lean years, and I can honestly say you feel his presence regardless. And it does make a difference. And so keeping him first, keeping Christ in Christmas, really does make a difference. We also want to take a moment for those who are perhaps separated because a family member is away, assuring us of our freedoms. These are our military and those in clandestine operations. Their families sometimes feel a sense of being alone far more than anybody else because they don't even know where their family are. They don't know what it is to be able to simply pick up the phone and speak with them or think, well, in a few more moments, they'll be here for dinner. And so we honor them by remembering them in prayer and extending to them our thanks and our prayers. Jim, I therefore would like to take a moment and have prayer for our listeners, especially those who are hurting or separated at this time. So with your patience, let's have a word of prayer right now.
Sure.
Heavenly Father, we do come together, both as audience, Jim and myself, but best of all, knowing where two or three are gathered in your name, that you'd be here with us. We lift up before you, dear God, the many people who are in uniform serving and protecting our country, those who are doing clandestine things that are necessary, putting their own lives at risk, just so that we can know the freedom of worship, of fellowship, of walking each day and remembering Christmas. So we give our thanks to them, but dear God, we pray that you'd watch over them, protect them, comfort them, and protect their families at this time as well. We pray that this coming Christmas, if not this one, they would be able to be together. And dear God, allow them, wherever they are, to feel your presence, your warmth, and a confidence of knowing that their families are safe. And all these things we ask, dear God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Jim?
Pastor, you know, you made me think of something. How would you like to be one of these servicemen or women fighting for a country that's not like the United States of America, that's not a Christian nation. That has got to be a very, very lonely, thankless position to defend a country that's not right, not godly. Anyway, just a thought as you were praying. Pastor, can we agree right now that we're celebrating Christmas, not just the holidays? You know, the commercialism, and you remember our parents used to talk about this, and we thought, oh, that little polar bear and the Coca-Cola, that was fun. How could you not think that's Christmas? Look at the love and the excitement. But you see it on TV. It's all about selling stuff. And we know from reading the Bible that stuff is tarnishes. It rusts. It's corrupted. It doesn't last. And so I think we need to teach as well as remember that Christmas is not about getting stuff and these wonderful commercials. They spend millions of dollars to get our attention, hold our attention, and sell us something. That's not Christmas, and I think we need to teach that and live that. You know, when I was a young boy, Christmas was just fabulous because now I'm going to talk about stuff, but I have two younger brothers. And one of the things I can really thank my parents for is how they never showed favoritism, although secretly I know I was the favorite. But it's amazing when you look back at our – you remember the old snapshots, Pastor, that had the scalloped edges and something new? They actually had the date on them. And I can recall, just like it was yesterday – the three of us coming down Christmas, I say coming down, we were on a one-story small house, but it was big to us. And we'd come out at the Christmas tree, and there would be three pairs of cowboy boots, three hats, three gun and holster sets. And then one year, we actually got three bicycles with training wheels with a windshield, and it looked like a motorcycle police. Motorcycle cops, and I just remember how much fun it was, and how Mom and Dad always made it so special. And growing up in a household with a Jewish mom and a Christian father, we got to see both sides of this, and I was just always thankful that Mom participated, and I think near the end of her life, she actually gave her heart to Christ. I want to believe that with all my heart, because she had asked me about things. So Christmas is a special, warm memory in my mind, and we never went hungry. That was just a wonderful time. Pastor?
Had a question and didn't get to ask it. Listening to the program from the archive and can't dial the regular number. Either way, you can still ask the pastor. Just call toll-free and leave your question at 1-866-275-4472 and select option 1. Please leave your first name and your question. Be sure to speak clearly, as we may use your question on the air in a subsequent broadcast. Again, that toll-free number is 1-866-275-4472. Thank you.
Merry Christmas from Jim and Charles on Ask the Pastor Now.
Well, I know Christmas was very special growing up as well, and had a rather large family, and was blessed to have a sister as well as two older brothers. And I was the youngest in the group. I've learned over the years to refer to my siblings as prototypes, you know, and you know, my parents got it right, then it was time to stop. So,
prototypes, yes.
Prototypes, that's right. Until we get it right, then we have to stop. Okay. But, you know, it was a special time. I think probably one of their less fond memories was the year they decided to get an electric train set. And I think they spent the better part of the night trying to assemble a train set, only to discover as the morning hours came by that the set did not include the little wires to go from the transformer to the track. So, and apparently at those days there were not all-night stations where you could run out and get the last two wires to make the train complete. So that's some of the interesting times that come with Christmas time. But, you know,
wow.
I hope it also serves as an encouragement for parents to realize that your Christmas doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be lavish. But to be real, a Christmas worth remembering, well, it needs to be filled with love and filled with the right purpose. And that purpose, as we've said so often, is Jesus Christ. Jim?
Well, you know, Pastor, excuse me, you know, the thing that I guess is so exciting about Christmas is some of the music we hear and also the food. All this talk about Christmas has made me hungry, although sometimes the things I hear are not very close to Christmas. Some of the songs, and I just thought of a couple of them while we were talking. I thought about Mama Kissing Santa Claus. You know, it seems like an innocent song, but what does that got to do with Christ? And then one, you know, I grew up listening to the Beach Boys. And one of the songs, I still have their Christmas album, and it talks about, he's the man with all the toys. Dun, dun, dun. And then it picks up. It talks about the man with all the toys and taking his little nephew to the department store. And cute song, got a great beat, doesn't talk about Christ.
Hmm.
Interesting, huh?
That's
true. You know, Pastor, in years past on Ask the Pastor, we spent some time looking at the messages behind the Christmas carols. This is something that continues to impact people, and we don't spend some time. We need to spend some time doing that again. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I thoroughly agree with you. I think that is a very special way to look at Christmas. There's songs we sung growing up. There's songs that we're not singing enough now. As you say, some of the songs that are being sung now are really not all that Christmassy. So getting back to the Christmas carols, which amazingly began as Christmas hymns, is a good thing. You know, looking at the stories behind the Christmas hymns, it's worth becoming a tradition for us here on Ask the Pastor Now. Now, we all know the Christmas season, UPS, FedEx, and especially the U.S. Postal Service, those folks are busy, no question about it. So what better way to begin than to pick a hymn that has a postal carrier as part of its history? Now, the hymn, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, also known as God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, is an English traditional Christmas carol. It was published by William B. Sandys in 1833, so it's been around for a while. It's stood the test of time. And although the author is unknown, two interesting things about the song's history that is very much interesting. First, it's one of those that is referenced in Charles Dickens' classic, A Christmas Carol, written in 1843. Quote, at the first sound of God Bless You, Merry Gentlemen, may nothing you dismay, Scrooge seized the ruler with such energy of action that the singer fled in terror, leaving the keyhole to the fog and even a more congenial frost. End quote. It seems the song was not popular with those who lacked the Christmas spirit, let alone Christian compassion. However, secondly, let's look at the fact that the author is officially unknown, but is believed to be a postman who was delivering the mail around the 1700s, and he sang this song so that people would, of all things, go to church. The words of the first verse go like this, God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay, for Jesus Christ our Savior was born upon this Christmas day. To save us all from Satan's power, which long time ago had gone astray, which brings tidings of comfort and joy. God rest ye, merry gentlemen. Thank you.
thought that the postman would bring a Christmas reminder. You know, comically, it seems like Christmas comes once a year, and sometimes it seems like it takes a year to get our mail. And I recall when they used to talk about the postage stamp always going up. You remember this, Pastor. The postage kept mm-hmm. going up every 2 or 3 years. And finally, there was an announcement that the postage actually hadn't gone up. The price of storing your mail for several days had gone up. So it was kind of a joke about, but I think they do a fabulous job. And if you've ever been in Houston in August and seen our post people carrying the mail and sweating profusely and in an unair-conditioned truck, I think you'd have a lot of sympathy for their job. Wouldn't you, Pastor?
I thoroughly agree with you. They may not have to deal with some of the ice and snow they do in other areas, but they certainly get more than their fair share of rain and heat.
Yes.
But, you know, Jim, the world would have us take the Christ out of Christmas, and the world is wrong. So let's do Christmas the right way by going to God's words first. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I would. Thank you. You know, from the Old Testament, I read the passage from Micah 5:2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be a little among thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Pastor, that sounds like to me that hundreds of years before there was a babe in the manger, there was a prophecy that comforted and assured God's people that there would be a Savior.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Jim. In fact, that's some of the passages we talked about last week about the birth of Christ, our Savior. You know, if it was a surprise, then why were the wise men out there looking for him? And by the way, wise men, wise women, and young people today are still looking for him and seeking his will in their lives. Another great example of the prophecy of Jesus Christ can be found in Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
Pastor, those words not only sound familiar from the Bible, but also from the music known as the Messiah.
And that's right, Jim. And that's why Handel's Messiah continues to be such an inspiration and so powerful. It is predominantly made up of lines of Scripture telling the promise and the fulfillment of the gospel.
That's so true, and I love so many of the other verses from the New Testament that tell us about the reality and purpose of Christmas. Remember Luke 2:10 and 11? And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And then there was the message declared in Matthew 1:21, And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. When I read these verses, I don't just get excited about Christmas, I stay excited about Christmas. It's, you know, Pastor, just such a great comfort when you see things that are going on in not only other countries, but our own country, how we can rest assured that God tells us the truth. He wants to give us eternal life, and he's provided a way to do that for us to be reconciled through Christ Jesus. It is a wonderful time of year to celebrate that. You know, until Isaac Watts came along, most of the singing in British churches was from the Psalm of David. The church, especially the Church of Scotland, had labored over the Psalms with great effort and scholarship, translating them into poems with rhyme and rhymes suitable for singing. As a young man in Southampton, Isaac had become dissatisfied with the quality of singing, and he keenly felt the limitations of being able to only sing these Psalms. so he invented the English hymn. He did not, however, neglect the Psalms. In 1719, he published a unique hymnal, one in which he had translated, interpreted, and paraphrased the Old Testament Psalms through the eyes of New Testament faith. He called it simply the Psalms of David, limited in the language of the New Testament, imitated in the language of the New Testament. Taking various Psalms, he studied them from the perspective of Jesus and the New Testament, and then formed them into verses for singing. I have rather expressed myself as I may suppose David would have done if he lived in the days of Christianity, Watts explained, and by this means, perhaps, I have sometimes hit upon the true intent of the Spirit of God in those verses, farther and clearer than David himself could have ever discovered. Watts' archenemy, Thomas Bradford, was greatly critical of Watts' songs, which he called whims instead of hymns. He accused Watts of thinking he was King David. Watts replied in a letter, "You tell me that I rival with David? Whether he or I be the sweet psalmist of Israel, I abhor the thought, while yet at the same time I am fully persuaded that the Jewish psalm book was never designed to be the only salt of the Christian church." Joy to the world is Isaac Watts' interpretation of Psalm 98, which says, "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth." That's in verse 4. As he read Psalm 98, Isaac pondered the real reason for shouting joyfully to the Lord. The Messiah has come to redeem us. The result, despite the now forgotten criticism of men like Bradbury, has been a timeless carol that has brightened our Christmas for nearly 300 years. Just before we hear the music, consider these words from the carol. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. began this evening, you mentioned that we would look at what the Bible says about Christmas.
Well, that's right, Jim, and in some small way, we have done that. We focused on the main scriptures that speak of the promise of the Savior, Redeemer, the Christ. We shared the scriptures that speak of his birth, and his message is scattered throughout the Word of God, both Old and New Testament. You know, last week we saw some of the promises, and we also see that Christ didn't simply begin there in the New Testament. Rather, he was in the creation. It's amazing people overlook that fact. We have God speaking. We have them involved in the creation. We find God sometimes having almost like a discussion. Well, that's because there's three persons in the Trinity. And so, yes, they can most definitely do that. So that is an amazing thing. But to realize that God has been here throughout all time, and from the fall of the garden, to realize that there was a need of a Savior, and that Christ was willing to step up to that challenge for our new birth, that's an incredible thing to me. And so, yes, Christmas really is there. We get that message, and there should be joy to the world to know that a Savior has come. And the scriptures support that excitement, that joy, that passion to realize both Old and New Testament that God is alive and active among his people. Jim?
Say, Pastor, one of the things we always do on Thursday night program Ask the Pastor is to take questions. Do we have any questions for this Christmas evening?
Well, I'm sure that's entirely possible. Let's check the voicemail first and see if we have any. That's always a good thing to do.
You have 937 messages, all of which are marked urgent.
Okay, it seems like there might be a few questions out there. But
okay.
There's only about 20 minutes left in the program. That may not be our best plan. I do think you mentioned, just while we were getting started, though, there was a question concerning Christmas, the word itself. Do you have that handy?
Well, you know, Pastor, I'm a man who likes to Google. And it's interesting because I love trivia. And so just before we went on the air, I thought, Christmas. Where did that word come? And why isn't it, by the way, and this is the second part of the question, why isn't it Christmas? Christmas. So I looked up the word Christmas from Google, and one of the top hits that came up, and I think there's some explanations somebody can give us about how what pops up on Google, how it gets there, because I think there's some designs and ways to manipulate. But what came up was Christ's death, mass, death. So it's the death of Christ, and yet it's celebrating his birth. What would you say to that question? How did it get to be Christmas?
Well, I think, you know, a mass, which is, you know, held in the loss of a loved one, is something that's a Catholic tradition. It's something that they observe within their church. So perhaps I can see how Christ Mass or Christmas might have been picked up and used that way. Ironically, I think something that is a great confusion to the world is the Christian's response to death. And that's because of the fact that for us, death is actually quite empowering. And what I mean by that is that, first of all, when Christ came, he came to live a life without sin. He had to be that sinless offering for us. And ultimately, when he went to the crucifixion, the capital punishment of his day, he took on death and he rose from the grave, meaning he had victory over the grave. His offering was accepted as our offering for our sin. And so death has lost its sting. I mean, is it difficult to lose a loved one? Absolutely, of course it is. But we as Christians realize that we will be with them yet again if they name the name of Christ. And so consequently, there is actually a celebration that goes along with death for us, because we realize to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So I'm not totally certain if I accept the histories from the internet that Christmas is Christ's Mass or Christ's death, because really, you know, in death he had victory. In death, where is the sting? He brought to us an incredible joy, an incredible peace, and even an incredible celebration. So I think, Jim, you know, the answer really lies in how you view death. If death is morbid, if death is sad, then you don't understand what Christ did for us in his death and in his resurrection. So maybe the best approach then is to simply go back and relish the moments of love and peace that came with the presence of Christ. And I think perhaps you might bless our listeners if you shared with them the story behind another hymn, one that speaks of a very precious holy night that mm-hmm. may be truly a great blessing for all of our listeners. Jim?
Yes, the words of O Holy Night were written in 1847 by a French wine merchant named Placide Clépeau, the mayor of Roquemure, a town in the south of France. We know little about him except that he wrote poems as a hobby. We know more about the man who composed the music, a Parisian named Adolphe Charles Adam, the son of a concert pianist. Adams was trained almost from infancy in music and piano. In his mid-20s, he wrote his first opera and therefore wrote two operas a year until his death at age 52. Near the end of his life, he lost his savings in a failed business venture involving the French National Opera, but the Paris Conservatory rescued him by appointing him professor of music. It was John Dwight, son of Yale's president, Timothy Dwight, who discovered this French carol, Christian Midnight, and translated it into the English hymn, O Holy Night. After graduating from Harvard, and Cambridge, John was ordained as minister of the Unitarian Church in Northampton, but his pastoring experience wasn't happy. In 1841, George and Sophia Ripley founded a commune named Brook Farm to prepare a society of liberal, intelligent, and cultivated persons whose relations with each other would permit a more simple and wholesome life. John was hired as director of the Brook Farm School and began writing a regular column on music for the commune's publication. Greatly influenced by the liberal views of Ralph Waldo Emerson, he became fascinated by the German culture, especially the symphonic music of Ludwig von Beethoven, and it was largely his influence that introduced Americans to Beethoven's genius. When Brook Farm collapsed in 1847, John Dwight moved into a cooperative home in Boston and established a career in music journalism. He penned articles on music for major publications, and in 1852, he launched his own publication, Dwight's Journal of Music. He became America's first influential classic music critic. He was opinionated, sometimes difficult, and a great promoter of European classical music and an early advocate of transcendentalism. How odd that a wine merchant, a penniless Parisian, and liberal clergyman would give Christianity one of its holiest hymns about the birth of Jesus Christ, Savior of the world.
You know, I don't know what you think, but outside of the traditional church message, one of the things that make Christmas time special for me is tradition. For example, things that we do with our families that are unique, special, that we remember each season, that just brings back a lot of comfort time. Jim, do you have any special family members or traditions that help make the Simmons family memories extra special?
Well, yes, I do. Pastor, you know, we're in an age of technology. It's changing by leaps and bounds. But, you know, I mentioned earlier about the scalloped edges on photos, and I see now that we are so old hat. But one of the things that was so wonderful in our family was pulling out those old pictures and looking and seeing how we've changed and how we've grown closer as a family. And that is all Christ-centered. You know, you don't just happenstance through life. There's purpose. And I just think about today, you know, how now we're using cell phones that have a clearer picture than we could have ever imagined. You know, I remember many years ago, Dad got we gave Dad a camera. And I remember my youngest brother telling him, and this has to do with these photographs, he told Dad, he said, "Daddy, we got you a camera for your birthday, but we can't tell you." So, surprise was out of the box, but I just remember the photographs, and we're still doing that today, only we're doing videos and we're doing high-tech, great-resolution pictures with just our cell phones. Who would have ever thought? What about you, Pastor?
Well, I thoroughly agree with you. For us growing up, it was always music. It seemed like there was always something going on at church that we were drawn back to music. In our home, there would always be music. And that sort of really set the tone. And in fact, I recall there was one particular album of chimes and organ that had Christmas songs. And it seemed like we couldn't even start Christmas morning until that album was put on. And so hearing those old tunes, they come back. That, to me, is Christmas morning. That's what really starts the day. Ironically, we only played that particular album on Christmas morning. We never even played it in anticipation. We had other music, but that one particular album, that started Christmas morning for us, and it was very special. You know, I think also something that's special and part of our process is to deal with questions. Do you have another question for us, perchance?
We had another question that came in that we should probably talk about, especially since it is a concern for many people who are troubled about Christ being taken out of Christmas. What can Christians do about the use of the printed phrase Xmas?
All right. And which is also another question that floats around, the variation on that is it wrong to say Xmas instead of Christmas? You know, there are many who view the word Xmas as part of an overall war on Christmas. They view it as a blatant attempt to take Christ out of Christmas. And, you know, I think undeniably that there are those that use that in that manner. But the actual origin of the word Xmas has nothing to do with taking Christ out of Christmas. It's one of the fun things that sort of happen. Every now and then, Christianity gets attacked, and the truth behind the story of the attack is actually quite a testimony. So we can take that and use it. Now, in this case, here's what I'm talking about. In Greek, the original language of the New Testament, the word for Christ is Christos, which begins with a Greek letter that is essentially the same letter as the English letter X. So originally, Xmas was simply an abbreviation of Christmas. No grand conspiracy to take the Christ out of Christmas, just a simple abbreviation in a Greek language. In response to this, rather than getting angry or complaining about the use of Xmas, we should be sharing the love of Christ through the word and deed. In truth, a wise believer who encounters the use of Xmas could share the story of its origin and see it as an opportunity to share the gospel. So the next time our listeners come across a situation where maybe somebody in advertising or maybe somebody's store is using Xmas, you might want to raise the question, say, "By the way, do you know what Xmas actually comes from?" They'll say, "Well, it's Christmas." And I said, "No, actually it's far more than that." And you can introduce them to the Christ of the Xmas, and might be quite a surprise for somebody. Takes a bigger person to take control of the situation. And speaking of bigger people, for somebody who is not from Texas, this guy sounds like a Texan. and nearly 6 feet, weighing 300 pounds. In this corner, we have Philip Brooks casting a long shadow. Now, he was a native Bostonian, by the way, and the ninth generation of distinguished Puritan stock. He entered the Episcopalian ministry and pastor and was a great power in Philadelphia and in Boston. His sermons were topical rather than expositional, and, well, he's been criticized for that, the thinness of his doctrine. A topical sermon doesn't start in Scripture. You pick the topic, and then you find the Scriptures that support that. So nonetheless, he is considered one of America's greatest preachers. Now, his delivery came in lightning bursts. He felt he had more to say and less time in which to say it in. So while in Philadelphia's Holy Trinity Church, Phillips, at age 30, visited the Holy Land. On December 24, 1865, traveling by horseback from Jerusalem, he attended a five-hour Christmas Eve service at the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem. He was deeply moved, and he said, I remember standing in the old church in Bethlehem, close to the spot where Jesus was born, when the whole church was ringing hour after hour with splendid hymns, praise of God, how again and again it seemed as if I could hear voices I knew well telling each other all the wonderful night of the Savior's birth. 3 years later, as he prepared for the Christmas seasons of 1867, he wanted to compose an original Christmas hymn for the children to sing during their annual program. Recalling his magical night in Bethlehem, he wrote a little hymn of five stanzas and handed the words to his organist, Louis Ridner, saying, "Louis, why not write a new tune for my poem? If it's a good tune, I'll name it St. Louis after you." Louis, by the way, is L-E-W-I-S, struggled with his assignment, complaining of no inspiration. Finally, on the night before the Christmas program, he awoke with the music ringing in his soul. He jotted down the melody and then went back to sleep. And the next day, a group of six Sunday school teachers and 36 children sang, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." Brooks was so pleased with the tune that he did indeed name it for his organist, changing the spelling to St. Louis, L-O-U-I-S, so as not to embarrass him. You may remember the little hymn says, "O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight." Thank you.
night before Christmas, he lived all alone in a one-bedroom house made of plaster and stone. I had come down the chimney with presents to give, to see just who in this dwelling did live. I looked all around, a strange sight to see. No tinsel, no presents, not even a tree. No stockings on the mantel, just boots filled with sand. On the wall hung pictures of far distant lands. Medals and badges, awards of every kind. A sobering thought came alive in my mind. This house was different. It was dark, it was dreary. I had found the home of a soldier. I could see that most clearly. The soldier lay sleeping, silent, alone, curled up on the floor in this one-bedroom home. His face was so gentle, the room in such disorder, not at all how I pictured a United States soldier. Was this the hero of whom I'd just read, curled up on a poncho, the floor for a bed? Then I realized the other families that I saw this night owed their lives to soldiers who were willing to fight. In the morning round the world, children would play. Grown-ups would celebrate a bright Christmas day. But they all enjoy freedom each month of the year because of soldiers like the one lying here. I couldn't help but wonder how many lay alone on a cold Christmas Eve in lands far from home. The very thought put a tear to my eye. I dropped to my knees and I started to cry. The soldier awakened. I heard his rough voice. Santa, don't cry. This life is my choice. I fight for freedom. I don't ask for more. My life is my God, my country, my core. The soldier rolled over and drifted to sleep. But I couldn't control it and I continued to weep. I kept watch for hours. So silent and still, as both of us shivered from the cold night's chill. I didn't want to leave him on that cold, dark night, this guardian of honor, so willing to fight. Then the soldier rolled over with a voice soft and pure. He whispered, "Carry on, Santa. It's Christmas Day. All's secure." One look at my watch, I knew he was right. Merry Christmas, my friend. May God bless you this night.
Thank you for joining us on Ask the Pastor. If you have a question or a comment for the program,